You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
So you may be wondering exactly what plane crashes, scuba accidents, rampant dinosaurs, and medical mistakes have to do with your marriage crisis. This is Lee Baucom, and today we're going to be talking about how these ideas and a framework that goes behind that has something to tell you about what's going on in your marriage. So let me just kind of step back a minute and tell you where my process in this began. Years ago, I read two books by Michael Crichton, and I've got to admit, I'm not a big novel reader, so this was kind of an unusual place, but Michael Crichton had that technique of adding a story and facts together, and so I could get caught up in the story while also learning about science and other parts of society. And so two books that he wrote, Airframe and Jurassic Park, you may remember both of those. And in that, he explained that whenever there is an accident, whenever there is a plane wreck in Airframe, and whenever the dinosaurs get away in Jurassic Park, it's because of a cascade of events. That there's not one single thing that happens, but a cascade of events that happen that cause that. And I remember when I was reading that, how intrigued I was by the idea that when we want to always look at an accident as being caused by this particular thing, in reality, there is a chain of events that lead to that accident. So in Airframe, you look at the different pieces, and that was Michael Crichton's story about how the different pieces lined up in order to cause the accident. In Jurassic Park, if you remember that story, part of the whole idea of that whole chaos theory behind it, the science behind it, was that the more systems you had in play, the more possibility you had that something would break down. And whenever you're trying to create something and contain something, there's going to be mistakes. And so in both of those, there were a cascade of events that led to the catastrophes that happened. Now, in later years, as a scuba instructor, I found it very instructive to read about the reports that are maintained by the Divers Alert Network, DAN, which is how all scuba accidents are maintained as an understanding and as an investigation. And as you read through the accidents, you discover the exact same thing. There was not one single causation as much as there were a line of events that happened. And the line of events led to an accident. It wasn't one little mistake here or one little mistake there or one error here or one error there, but the accumulation of those errors that led to the accident. Now, a little bit before I became a scuba instructor, I remember working as a chaplain in a hospital, and we would always kind of go back through the chain of events that happened when there was a medical accident, when something went wrong that shouldn't have gone wrong. And as you probably know, that happens periodically. And I remember many times what I would hear is that there was a list of errors, and a lot of the errors were caused by humans not communicating with each other, by not sharing where things were, by not sharing their little corner of the knowledge base. And I remember in one particular accident where there was a surgical mistake that the anesthesiologist had not revealed what he had noticed. The resident who was in charge of one piece of the procedure did not reveal what he had done, and the surgeon did not notice what he was seeing. And in the end, all of those fit together in a catastrophic way for this person. All of these tell us the same thing. The same thing is true in airplane accidents, in scuba accidents, in medical accidents, and perhaps if it were true in the reincarnation of dinosaurs getting free in the world, all of them come from a cascade of events. There's not one single thing that you can say that is the accident as much as there's a chain of events that led to the accident. So most accidents, most situations arise with more than one causation. That idea, that chain of events, is also called the error chain in the research behind these accidents. Whenever they do an investigation, they look for the error chain. What were the places where there were problems? Now, there is a model for this in management of difficult situations, and that model is called the Swiss cheese model. The Swiss cheese model says that there are layer upon layer of pieces to be considered, and each one has some holes in them, some potential places. And so something might fit through one hole, but if it doesn't fit through another hole, the accident is stopped. But if it fits through one hole and it makes it through another barrier through that hole and through another barrier through that hole and through another barrier, then there's an accident. In other words, there are barriers that are designed to protect, but no barrier is impervious. All of them have bigger or smaller error places that can cause problems. This is where it begins to be important in your marriage. Now, some weeks I talk about strategies. What do you want to do? And other weeks I talk about mindsets. What do you need to understand? This week is a mindset piece, but one that changes your strategy. So one that might change how you understand and how you view what's going on in your marriage. I can tell you that whenever you have a true shift in mindset, it will change how you go about living your life. When I was in college, it was the first time I was ever exposed to the idea of systems theory of family relationships. Systems theory of family relationships says that we are not individuals. We are a conglomeration in a family of different people that are moving and in connection with each other in different ways. You think of it as a web of connections. And there are a web of connections in a family, and then there's some web of connections that connect that family to the outside society. And in the end, we're one big system, one big network, one big web of connections. And I remember when I got that, when I moved from an individual psychology understanding to a systems theory understanding, and then I went back home and watched my family operate in a system. And it changed how I operated in that system. It changed how I interacted with people, because suddenly I was aware of how I was entering into relationships and out of relationships and into connections and out of connections, and how I moved the system around and how the system moved me around. Suddenly my mindset being changed my outlook on my life and therefore how I went about my life. It allowed me to be one step higher in my thinking and therefore one step higher in my actions. Now, that doesn't mean that it solved everything, but it gave me a new place. And so as you think of this week, recognize that what I'm trying to do is do a little shift in your mindset, knowing that that shift in your mindset can change how you understand the situation you're in and change how you go about interacting with that. In other words, while we're talking about mindset and kind of talking about thought process, don't confuse that with no change in your interactions. Notice that any change in action also has to have a change in mindset. If it doesn't, it's not going to last. It's a habit that you end up just doing to do, and eventually you'll fall back to your old habit. So I want to make a shift. I want to make a change in your mindset by thinking about this whole Swiss cheese model and how that fits into your marriage, the error chain, and how that creates a marriage crisis. You see, there's no one action that causes the marriage crisis you're in. It's an accumulation of events. And a lot of times when people come to my office, they want to know, why did this happen? Now, let me even make it more pointed. Some people say, why did that affair happen, for instance? I need this person to tell me why they had an affair, and the person who had the affair stumbles around trying to explain it. Why? Because there's not one single cause, but a multiple causation. That does not mean the person is not responsible for their actions. It simply means that there's more behind that than you can simply say, this is why I did that. It's much more complex than that and much more difficult to understand. And you've got to look for more of the pieces. Now, one of the important parts of the Swiss cheese model is that there are preconditions and causes, and that the preconditions are the pieces that are already the background. They're already built into an understanding. For instance, how you understand marriage and how you understand roles in a marriage and how you understand the vows of marriage and how you understand how you are in the marriage. Those are preconditions. And they are probably based on some learning, some family that you watched growing up, how your parents did their marriage, how your grandparents did marriage, how friends did their marriage. And what we kind of notice is that when people didn't have a good model of marriage, they sometimes struggle to figure out what that's supposed to be. So they kind of fill in the blanks based on culture, what they see in the media, what they hear in songs and movies and books, and those create the preconditions. How we understand marriage is so poor in our culture. We don't understand the depth of that, what it means to be a we, a unit, a team, that we just think, oh, I'm just kind of joining up with this person and we'll see how it goes. Not, I'm joining together into a whole new being with this person. And because we miss that precondition, many of us walk into a marriage waiting for something to happen, for a causation to happen. And so let's think of it in a kind of a real life way. If you look at a fire, presence of oxygen is a precondition. If you don't have oxygen, there's no fire. But it's just a precondition. Oxygen doesn't cause a fire. It just has to be present for it to happen. There has to be some combustion somewhere that happens, but the oxygen is a precondition. So let's go back to marriage. Your understanding of what a marriage is about is a precondition. It's not a cause of the problem. It's a precondition that leads to some problems down the road. So if we kind of divide out those Swiss cheese layers, we can look at the organizational layer, which is kind of those assumptions about marriage and what you might have learned at church, at school, with your family, you know, at synagogue, at the mosque, wherever it was, about what that marriage is supposed to be about. Those are our assumptions. It's the organizational piece. It's just the background. And it also affects how we put our marriage together. So an organizational piece may be that you assign traditional roles to the couple, or that you assign non-traditional roles, kind of more of an egalitarian approach. And those are organizational pieces, which have some stresses and struggles either way. But they are preconditions. Those are organizational pieces that are the assumptions that are already in the background. And then there's the environment from which the marriage is in. And I particularly look at the stressors. For instance, if a job is pulling someone away, you know, in the past couple of weeks, I've gotten lots of questions about people who have been deployed, for instance, in the military, or and therefore not just deployed in a way, but also sometimes in very stressful situations where fear and post-traumatic stress and other pieces come into the puzzle. Or maybe it's a job situation that pulls you away. For instance, a pilot that may be gone for a couple of weeks out of the month and be back for a week, or maybe they split their time between continents trying to work a job. Or perhaps a job is just particularly stressful and draining. For instance, you know, maybe there's a doctor or a nurse or an attorney or a minister or some other occupation that tends to be very draining emotionally. And that's creating a stressor in the environment. Or perhaps it's children. You know, that either the kids are coming along and, you know, if you remember those early days of marriage like I do, where you're just running on zero sleep and therefore everything seems multiplied and magnified. Or perhaps it's the kids are getting to a transition point, that their needs of a parent are changing along the way. Or perhaps the kids have found a place of trouble, that they're causing difficulties and that the integration into the family is difficult. Or you might be looking at for instance, a blended family or an attempt to blend a family that's creating the stress. And so there are lots of stressors. It could be a health condition that's creating stress, that somebody's not as capable of pulling their weight or of contributing in the way they have before. Or maybe, you know, when you feel bad, you don't act your best and you become a little self-centered. Some of those pieces might be floating around. Caretakers get exhausted. Or maybe a stressor is that the parents are aging, and those aging parents are creating more and more of a stressor on the resources of the family, or the emotional resources or financial resources of a family. So those are the stressors. Those are the background environmental pieces that can begin to up the possibility that there is a problem as the chain goes along. And then there's the personal piece. Those are the individual psychologies, what pieces we all carry. And as much as we all like to think that we are extremely psychologically healthy, we all have places where we miss the mark, where we maybe don't respond the best we can. Maybe we make assumptions based on our personal psychology. Maybe we even have depression or anxiety and some of those other pieces that really are truly psychological. But in this piece, I'm just talking about our individual psychological makeup, how independent we are or how dependent we are, how we interact with other people or don't interact with other people, whether extroverts or introverts, whether we crave attention and or barely need attention. Maybe we have different ways of understanding affection. Those kinds of things are our individual psychologies and our individual needs. And then you're trying to match those up with somebody else. So we have two people with two different layers of needs and psychology and fears and assumptions and hopes and desires. And that begins to create a mix that you begin to look at as the causations, the pieces that fit together. The problem is a lot of time we get to that last event and we say, that's what caused this. And we fail to see that that's just one more link in the chain. That's just one more place where we notice that things have begun to get to another place where the barriers aren't there. I've often talked about affairs as being really two pieces that are working simultaneously, and the lack of presence of either one keeps it from happening. But let's say there's a disconnected relationship and there's a lack of boundaries. That sets up the scenario where an affair can happen. A lack of connection doesn't necessarily lead to affairs. There are plenty of disconnected relationships that have no affairs. A lack of boundaries doesn't necessarily lead to affairs. But when you put the two together, you're placing both combustion and oxygen in the same place. You're creating the place where the fire can happen because you have both in place. That brings in the organizational meaning in the background. What did you decide about boundaries? What did you understand as the appropriate boundaries of a marriage? The environmental piece, that there's a disconnection between you. And then the personal piece, where there might be needs that were exposed and that somebody acted upon to try to meet those needs. So you see that the Swiss cheese model begins to line up the pieces of vulnerabilities in a marriage, whether it's an affair or just disconnection or misunderstandings about finances or lots of other pieces that you might say, this is our marriage crisis. We always like to have kind of this, here is what caused it. That's our cultural mindset of we've got to get down to the root cause. And my point here is that the root cause is not going to be one thing. And whenever you point to one thing as the root cause, you will have missed the multiple places where there is a system in play, where the organizational, the environmental, and the personal have fit together in a way of revealing vulnerabilities that led to the crisis you're in now. This is the difference between active failures and latent conditions. The latent conditions are those background things, those stressors and those understandings that we have. They're just latent. They're back there waiting. But then something happens that we actively fail. I've noticed some commonalities that happen when it's a marriage crisis at hand. I've already named off those organizational pieces, the assumptions about marriage and roles in marriage and boundaries in a marriage. And those environmental pieces, the stressors of jobs, of children, of parents, of finances, of all those other pieces that are kind of environmental and surround us. And then the personal, our individual psychology, our needs, etc., our fears. All of those create a platform. But then I notice that there are some commonalities, kind of a chain of events that lead to this. One is the lack of a communication about being off course. Now, this is back to my example of that medical problem. There was a lack of communication between the team of physicians that were in charge of the care of that patient. And because they weren't talking, nobody was picking up on the fact that something was going on. The resident didn't reveal that he had encountered a problem. The anesthesiologist didn't reveal that he had been having to give more and more medication for blood pressure. The surgeon didn't notice and didn't make note of the fact that there was too much blood at the operating point. And so nobody was talking to each other. Nobody was saying we're off course. Had they talked to each other, had they just, any one of them said, hey, this is an issue, they could have reassessed. Same in a marriage. Things are drifting a bit. Nobody's saying, hey, we're off course. Have you noticed that? And each person often holds back from saying that, often holds back from revealing that. And so the lack of communication about the fact that we are getting off course here is never revealed. So that's the first step. There's a lack of communication about being off course. The second is that there's a misunderstanding, and that misunderstanding becomes compounded and then personalized. So you begin to be off course, and because you're off course, you begin to have misunderstandings. Then those misunderstandings are compounded, and more than that, they're taken personally. Each person says, oh, this is, you purposely did that to me. I don't know how many times in my life of a therapist I've sat there and listened to someone accuse the other, whether they're present or not, of meaning to hurt them. And yet when I talk to the other person, there was no intention on their part, which tells me that we have a natural place of personalizing what's going on, of making it as if the other person is intentionally hurting us rather than the other person is intentionally or it's unintentionally misunderstanding, and that there's a lack of communication about being off course. Which leads to the third step, which is where misinterpretations lead to a poor response. If you're misinterpreting, the issues are being compounded and you're personalizing it, often you're going to respond poorly, defensively, angrily, with resentment, with lots of pieces that begin to load up the process, because then the fourth step is that poor responses compound the misunderstandings and lead to further misinterpretation, which leads us back to the first one, where you begin to be more and more off course. And so the cycle begins to go further and further down, waiting for the place where there's an opportunity for the whole process to fall apart. So as you begin to think about your marriage crisis, I want you to kind of have this idea, the Swiss cheese model in mind, and think about what were the organizational pieces? What was wrong with our assumptions about marriage? What was wrong with our assumptions about boundaries or the lack of conversation about boundaries? What was going on environmentally for us? What were the stressors that were pulling at us? What were the job issues, the children issues, the parent issues, the financial issues, the religious issues, all those environmental stressors that began to pull at us? And then what was going on personally for each of us? Where were our personal individual psychologies missing each other? Where were our needs not being met by each other, and how did that get us into trouble? Each one begins to create a barrier, and as those barriers have bigger and bigger holes, it's easier to see how the marriage crisis begins to move through each of those barriers and finally hits a crisis point. And then we have the cascade, the lack of communication about being off course that happens, and which leads to misunderstandings, which are compounded and then taken personally. And then those misinterpretations and misunderstandings lead to individually poor responses, which those poor responses then lead to a compounding of the misunderstanding, which leads to further misinterpretation, which leads to a lack of communication about being off course, and around and round we go. Use those as pieces of examining how your marriage has gotten to the place it is, not as a single causation, but as a chain of events, the error chain that creates this Swiss cheese model of understanding. And suddenly you can be clear about what plane crashes, scuba accidents, rampant dinosaurs, and medical mistakes have to do with your marriage crisis, that can give you a different understanding, a different viewpoint of the crisis, which can begin to change how you go about reacting to it. Okay, hopefully that's given you a piece, a mindset change, a different way of understanding and looking at your marriage crisis so that you can build off the actions. Now, if you've listened and you went, wow, you know what? I need some clarification on what this marriage is supposed to be and what these fears are about and how to respond differently, let me invite you to take advantage of the system I created, the Save the Marriage system. You can find that at savethemarriage.com, and I would love for you to take that, grab that, and try to work through a shift in how you go about that understanding, how that can give you direct changes in what you need to do differently, how you need to react differently, and then you can begin to change the path of this crisis. So if you have not already, go to savethemarriage.com and grab the Save the Marriage system. I think you're going to find that that gives you not just a mindset, but some practical pieces of understanding of what a marriage should and could be and how to get there. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you continue to work to change your marriage crisis.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.